You know, I feel like for me to say anything is good. Maybe I don't need to say anything this morning. I have really struggled on what to say today in my message, and this is going to be a very quick message. I know we've gone long, but bear with me. I feel God has laid something in my heart today to share with you. I want to begin with, Russ? Okay, there we go. Let's see. Well, okay, it's not there. I wanted to begin with a verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. And these are verses I've read many times, I've preached many times, I affirm, but they're not always easy to put into practice. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. Three admonitions as God's people were given. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, one of those is very easy. Pray continually. This past week, everybody's been praying. People who don't believe in God have been praying because they don't know what else to do. Maybe there's a God who will hear my prayer. Or I don't believe in God, but prayer in itself has some kind of magical power. People have been just praying. Believers like us have been praying, knowing there's a God who hears. So the prayer part is easy, but what about joyful? Be joyful always. In everything, give thanks. How do we do that? We don't in the flesh. We only do that by the Spirit of God. There's no other way in a circumstance like we've gone through that we can be joyful and give thanks. But when we have a God who's above it all and who, when it's all over, is going to bring us back and even make us richer in his glory, there is always a way to even be joyful and give thanks. And this morning, what I want to do in my, I won't even call it a sermon, it's a sermonette. It's going to be very brief. I want to go back 700 years before Christ to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah means God is my salvation. We have a little Isaiah baby in our church, and his name is God is salvation. And in Isaiah chapter 51, 700 years before Christ, Isaiah was writing, or actually speaking, to people who had experienced what we experienced here in Santa Rosa in Sonoma County. Jerusalem was burned to the ground. Their temple was destroyed. All the furnishings and all the sacred objects in the temple were taken away into Babylon, put into pagan shrines, and the people were now captive in Babylon. So they had seen destruction and destitution, and they were desperate, and they were crying out, God, where are you? How can you help us? We've lost everything. We've lost our city. We've lost our homes. We've lost our religion. We've lost our families. What is there for us? And here's a word of hope from Isaiah chapter 51. I'm only going to look at the first three verses. Isaiah says this, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her like deserts. He will make her deserts like Eden, meaning the Garden of Eden. Her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving and the sound of singing. And Lord, may these brief words reach our hearts and give us the same hope that they gave the captives in Babylon 700 years before our Lord was born. In Jesus' name, amen. Four quickly lessons of faith from this passage. Number one, there is always hope for those who put God first in their lives. This is not addressed to everyone. Who is it addressed to? Look at verse 1. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Isaiah is addressing those of Israel who were truly seeking God first. Jesus reminded us in the Sermon on the Mount, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You see, you and I must make a decision in life. Am I going to seek things as first importance in my life, or am I going to seek God as first importance in my life? And when I make that decision to put God first, then all these other things, which I do need, God will somehow see that they are provided for me. And what Isaiah is saying, all those who are seeking the Lord, all those who are seeking righteousness, listen to me. I have a word of encouragement for you. The second principle that, or the second lesson that we learn in this little word of encouragement to the people of Israel. Verse 1 continues, look to the rock from which you were cut. Look to the quarry from which you were hewn. God has formed us out of rock and not out of clay that is crushed and scattered. And what he is saying is, it's time to get your eyes off of the ruins, off the rubble, and get your eyes back on the rock. You know, the rock, God being our rock, is a theme throughout the Bible. In Psalm 18, verse 2 and 31, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. For who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? And how many songs have come out of this, the same thing of being the rock? The Lord is our rock. In him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. You are the rock of my salvation. You are the strength of my life. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And Israel was being told, look to the rock that from which you were cut, because you are a people that are founded on a solid foundation, the rock of the Lord himself. And then the third principle, or the third lesson, nothing is too difficult for God. And in verse 2, he now says, and then look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one. And how old was he? Almost 100 years old. And when I blessed him, and out of him I made many. So what God is saying is, you think your situation is hopeless. Look back to your father Abraham, and when I called him to be the father of many nations, he was one old 100-year-old man, and he had a 90-year-old wife, and I told them that from them I would bless the world. And out of that came the nation Israel and generation after generation of God's people. Do you remember what Abraham did when he first heard that he would have a son? He laughed. And then when he told his wife what God had said, what did she do? She laughed. And God said, I've heard your laughter, but is anything too hard for God? And what did they name their son? Laughter, Isaac. They named him the son after the fact that they didn't believe at first that God could really give them anything of a blessing. They were too old. They were beyond being blessed by God. And what God is saying is, remember that when I called Abraham, he was only one man. And now look how his family has spread. I was recently reading of a story of a pastor by the name of Martin Rinkert, who was in Germany in the 17th century during what's called the 30 Years' War, a terrible war in Europe from 1618 to 1648. It started as a fight between Catholics and Protestants over territory in Europe. It then escalated to much, much more than that. Thousands of people were slaughtered during that 30 Years' War. Martin Rinkert was a pastor in a little city in Germany called Eilenburg, Germany, a walled city in Germany. Refugees by the hundreds were swarming into his city for safety during the war so that they could simply save their lives. And in 1637, during this war, a terrible plague broke out in the city of Eilenburg. There were four Protestant pastors in Eilenburg to take care of the city of all these of thousands of people. And this plague killed in that one city just 8,000, in that just that one city, 8,000 people. One pastor simply ran out of the city because he didn't want to deal with it. The other two other pastors died of the plague. And so here was one pastor, Martin Rinkert, having to deal with a whole city of people and people dying daily of the plague. He performed 4,480 funerals in that city. He was burying 40 to 50 a day in trenches and having services for them. His own wife died. And out of the tragedy of all this, he lost his home and he lost his job and he was homeless on the street with his children without any mother. He had to be a scavenger to find food and clothing for his family. But out of the barrenness and the ruin of this man's life, the desperation of this man's life, he sat down and he wrote some verses for him and his children to sing as they said grace for their meal every night. And here's what he wrote. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Hymn number 788 in our hymnal. Now thank we all our God. How can a man write words like this in his desperate, desperate times? Because he had God. And our message, when we go out this week, folks, we don't need to preach sermons. We don't need to quote scripture even. We need to just be God's body and love people and let them know there's hope in God. He's our rock. And people are looking for something that won't burn up, something that won't leave them when they need them. And we have the Lord. Let's go out with that kind of hope this week. One final thought. Even out of ruin, God can again bring fruitfulness. Look at verse 3. I'll close with this. The Lord will surely comfort Zion. Zion was the mountain upon which Jerusalem was built, meaning the city of the Jewish race. He will look with compassion on all of her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. There might not be a lot of joy and gladness right now in Sonoma County, but there will be again, because God will do it. Here's what Isaiah said earlier in chapter 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come to save you. And how will God come to save people? Through us, or through his Spirit, however he uses us, the body of Christ. He doesn't have to do it through us. He can do it simply through revealing himself to those in need. but the body of Christ is crucial in reaching out and giving hope to our community. Barbara Johnson was a Christian author, a very popular speaker at women's conferences. In fact, Sue once heard her at a Women in Faith conference. She died at the age of 79 in 2007. She was known as the Geranium Lady because she wrote a book entitled Stick a Geranium in Your Hat and Be Happy. She loved using humor to make people laugh. She once said, I think that living to be 100 years old would be a wonderful thing, but living to be 50 twice is a lot better even than that. She was a humorist. You would think that, well, her life has been an easy life for her to be so jovial and happy and joking all the time. Not so. Her first son at the age of 18 went to Vietnam and he was killed in battle. Exactly 5 years after that, her second son was killed on a head-on collision with a drunk driver. And not long after that, her third son revealed that he was a sex addict and that estranged her from her third son forever. Then she wrote a book on all this. Where does a Mother Go to Resign? It was the name of her book, injecting a little humor into her tragedy. Her husband died, and then she contracted lymphoma, brain tumors, and diabetes all at the same time. And she didn't live very long. And she, I'm ending with these words of hers, which I think are very appropriate for this time. All the promises of God are true, are there. They're real and they're true. But right now you're bleeding, you're raw and hurting. And you have to hang on to those promises, even if they don't seem to work for you at the moment. I believe all the promises of God. But sometimes just saying, well, cheer up because God will help you, is not enough. That by faith we have to hold on to the fact that when I'm not realizing the fulfillment of those promises, they're still true. They're still true. And this is not up on the board, but I want to end with one more verse. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, and I'll close with this, I promise. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. A great verse that you can underline or mark if you want. Here's what it says. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. I love that. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. What he means is this. Everything God has promised, the blessing, the fulfillment, the joy, they're all found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So all of God's promises, no matter how many they are for no matter how many promises God has made, are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us for the glory of God. And what does amen mean? So be it. So let's say amen together. Can we? Amen, Lord.
Amen.
Amen to God's promises. And we are bearers of the good news that God is God. He has not forsaken Sonoma County. If you turn to him, he will turn your barrenness into a beautiful garden. That's his promise. And they are found in a personal way, in an intimate way, when you come to know Jesus as your Savior. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I appeal to you. Now's the time to turn to Jesus. Not just because of the crisis we've been involved in, but it's just time. It's always time. Now is the day of salvation. It's always the day to come to Jesus. If we can help you, and you need to make a decision or make a step of faith, please see us when we're done. We're going to have some food in the back. We invite you to come. Let's pray as we close today. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for calling us to be your people. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that no matter what happens in this life, we have a God who is a rock upon which we stand. We have a Savior who has promised that he will never, ever leave us or desert us, but he will be with us always. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for our opportunity to come together today, Lord, for how your Spirit is moved to encourage us all in this service. Now, Lord, it's time for us to scatter throughout the community, where we live, where we work, where we go to school. And as we go, we take with us, Lord, your love and your grace to the community. And may your love and grace, Lord, bind everyone together. May your love and grace, Heavenly Father, bring many to Jesus. Restore many who are broken. And Father, may you be glorified through all of this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.